how to save America. Preacher, can America be saved? Well, I believe it can. I'm not going to join the club that's just decided to give up on America. I think America can be saved, but I think we have to follow the Bible principles to see that it's done. You say, but preacher, America seems so far gone. Yeah, Sodom and Gomorrah did too. But you know what? Abraham was able to, watch this word, negotiate with the Lord a way to save Sodom and Gomorrah. Can you imagine that? And so if God is unchangeable, if there's no shadow of turning in him, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we can take these principles and look at them. I'll break it down for you, what we're going to do today. I'm going to give you two ingredients from this story, 2 points, on how Sodom and Gomorrah could have been saved, and then I'm going to give you 2 reasons why it was not saved. And so I want you to pay close attention. Now, young people, listen to me. I'm 53 years old, which I know sounds ancient to you all. I remember as a young person, someone told me they were over 50. I thought, man, they've got to be close to dead. They've got to be close to dead. But to be honest, truth is, even if I live out my 70, I may be looking at less than a 20-year stretch left. Listen, right now, I'm not fighting for America for my sake. I'm fighting for America for your sake. This is where you're going to have to grow up. This is where you're going to have to rear your children if God so tarries. And so I want to give, listen, if there's a group of people that needs to grab these principles and start living them, yes, all of us do. But young people, you need to start taking responsibility for your country because it's fast becoming your country. And so we're going to read some out of Genesis chapter 18, and I'm going to give you 2 points on how Sodom and Gomorrah could be saved, how America could be saved. And number 2, why Sodom and Gomorrah was not spared, and will these also be the reasons why America eventually is destroyed? Let's learn some things this morning. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, and the Lord appeared unto him, talking about Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Yet a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Now if you'll go over to verse number 16 in the same chapter, we're going to begin to see a discussion between Abraham and the Lord concerning the judgment that has been scheduled for Sodom and Gomorrah, the whys of that judgment, and the prayer of the negotiation between Abraham and the Lord. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? What a question. Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked? That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? What a bold prayer. We're going to talk about bold intercessory prayer. Verse 26, and the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to ask, speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak peradventure. There shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. He's talking about 30 righteous men, righteous people. And then it says in verse 31, and he said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned into his place. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us to remember two simple points, Lord, two simple points this morning. How to save America? How could Sodom and Gomorrah been saved? How could it have been spared, even though it was wicked, even though the cry of the sin was reaching heaven? Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to learn how we can extend your mercy and grace, dear God, upon this nation for another generation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you the two points, just one, two, so that you'll know them. How can America be saved? Number one, it's going to take intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. Say, preacher, that's a big word. What's it mean? We'll explain it to you. Intercessory prayer. Number two, it will take a remnant of the righteous. Intercessory prayer and a remnant of the righteous. What is intercessory prayer? That's Abraham praying. That's Abraham prayer. That means that we have to have some people in America that is willing to do for America what Abraham was willing to do for Sodom and Gomorrah. Tonight at 6:00, we've scheduled last week, this week in our Impact America week, we decided we would take the 2 6:00 hours that we usually have choir practice, and we would invite our church to come and be involved in a united prayer meeting, intercessory prayer for our country. It's going to take that if America's going to be spared. It's going to take someone like Abraham that's willing to pray unto the Lord and boldly intercede for America. What does intercessory prayer mean? That means when you're not praying for God to do something in your life, you're praying for God to do something in somebody else's life or to not do something in somebody else's life. In other words, somebody who will not pray or is not praying, you stand up for them and pray for them. Trust me, there wasn't much praying going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm not sure there was any praying going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Say, preacher, there was some Christians there. Just because there's the presence of Christians, listen to me, does not mean there's the presence of prayer. Isn't that sad? Because where there is a Christian, it should be a foregone conclusion that prayer is where a Christian should be. But as we're going to see, Lot had gotten himself in such a backslidden condition that I don't think he was communicating at all with God. And so he wasn't walking with God. And so Abraham, who was walking with God and loved a Christian that wasn't walking with God, was standing interceding for that Christian. And so intercessory prayer is praying for someone who either will not or is not or cannot pray for themselves. Now, This intercessory prayer, let's just put it under the microscope. Notice how Abraham appeals to the justice and mercy of God in verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? You see, folks, God is a God of character, and he lives by certain principles. He defines these principles for us in his word. Abraham walked with God, and he knew that God was a righteous God and a just God. And so when he prayed to God, he appealed to his righteousness and his justice, and he says, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Then he says in verse 24, he throws out a number. He said, Hey, if there's 50 righteous within the city. Now, folks, some people believe that Sodom and Gomorrah, I mean, I'm getting estimates all the way from the Twin Cities. There's actually 5 cities, but the Twin Cities there, all the way from 200,000 all the way up to, some people think, 1 million lived in the region that was threatened with this. Can you imagine this? Maybe up to 1 million people, and he throws out the number 50 and says if there's just 50. You know what, folks? That ought to give us in America some hope. That God would make an agreement to spare or maybe up to 1 million people if 50 righteous could be found. But you know what? Somebody had to negotiate the deal. Are you listening to? Let me ask you something. Are you interceding for America, Christian? Are you interceding for America? Do you pray for your country? If judgment falls, you know what? Yes, we're going to get to the point and the fact. We're going to talk about the sin, and we're going to talk about the condition of Sodom and Gomorrah in just a minute. But the honest truth is, folks, we must stand before God and plead and intercede for our country. We've encouraged you to do that. We had special prayer time last Sunday night. We had special prayer time on Wednesday night. We're going to do special prayer time tonight. And so let me just encourage you, please. I believe it's unpatriotic not to pray for your country. It's unpatriotic. One of the reasons I think if America ends up being destroyed, one of the reasons that we're going to have to confront at the judgment seat of Christ is the fact that we did not pray for our country. And here was Abraham living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Were these his hometown? No, but he still cared enough about Lot to intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah. How much more should we be willing to pray for America? Notice the boldness of the prayer in verse 25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. Be it far from thee. What a statement. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now you say, preacher, good night. That sounds almost borderline blasphemy. That sounds awful bold. It sounds like that Abraham is kind of calling God on the curb. Watch this, folks. God has gone on record as to what his character is. It's well defined in the scripture. God is a holy God. He does not remind us in our prayer time reminding him that he is a holy God. Matter of fact, I think he likes to hear the fact that we know that he's a holy God. He's also a God that does justly. And he, listen, he's a just God. And by the way, he is the judge of all the earth, and he is going to do right. And so could I say this, folks? Watch this. That kind of gives us some prayer leverage. You say, preacher, I don't know about this whole thing. I mean, negotiating with God, surely you don't negotiate with God. Yes, I do. Why wouldn't I? He did it. Why wouldn't I? Listen, if you want a model prayer to know how to pray for America, you're reading it right here. You know, how do we pray for America? Well, listen, folks, we don't have a lot to present. Abraham didn't have a lot of things that he could bring in defense of Sodom and Gomorrah. I kind of feel like I'm in the same boat. It's hard for me to point out a lot of things about America that gives God good reasons to spare it, but I do have this. Lord, not everybody's wicked, and not everybody's given in to the devil, and not everybody's quit church, and not everybody's backslidden, and not everybody's living a carnal life. There are saved people, and there is salt, and Lord, will not the judge of all the earth do right? I'm going to tell you something. I think we get 1 million Christians praying that every single day. I think that God's going to take notice of that prayer. See, listen, watch this. I think sometimes we don't understand the character of God. Some people have built God up into their minds as an angry, wrathful God that just sits there hoping that people will do wrong enough, long enough, so that he can annihilate them. And the honest truth is, he is strong in his mercy. And he's known for his compassion. And he's known for his long suffering. And if you appeal to those things, you know what? He's thrilled. He's thrilled to be able to answer those prayers. Hey, let me just bring this down to a practical standpoint. Are you in intercessory prayer for somebody in your life, somebody in your family, somebody in your realm of influence that maybe is away from God that either will not or cannot pray for themselves right now? You know what? Appeal to the mercy of God. Ask God to extend his mercy to him. Ask God to extend his kindness to them. Ask God to extend his long-suffering towards them. And you can, listen, you can negotiate. I think we need, watch this. Listen, I'm not going to have kids walking in and out. Okay, y'all need to come back down and sit down right here. Come on. You're going to have a chance just in a few minutes to go back, get a drink, use the restroom. But listen, it's like popcorn. You ever pop popcorn? That first kernel goes, boop. And before you know it, and pretty soon I'll be preaching to an empty auditorium. Now, if you're over 70 and on water pills, you can go anytime you want to. But if you're a kid, you just need to set tight, amen. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. And so remember those verses. So intercessory prayer. Listen, folks, I think that, listen, now young people, what I'm telling you is not for adults to hear. It's for you. Listen, why don't you as a fifth grader decide you're going to start pleading with God every day for America, praying for America? Well, why doesn't junior high students in high school say, hey, you know what, this isn't just for the preacher to do. You know what, I could, young men, you could be a young Abraham. Do you love America? Are you patriotic? Do you care about whether or not you're going to have any type of a country left to, that's decent to grow up in? Then you need to start. Listen, I'm going to tell you something I believe too. I just noticed it. You know what? If I've got something I really need prayer support in, if I can get children and young people praying for it, I don't know why, but God just seems to delight, I think, in answering their prayers and building their faith and showing themselves strong on their behalf. I'm going to tell you, young people, you have more power in prayer than maybe you understand. And so intercessory prayer. What is the prayer involved, though? By the way, folks, you know what? Abraham or God, you say, can God be negotiated with? Yes. Now, get this. I want you to understand something. You're never going to talk God into doing wrong. But you can talk God into being merciful. More merciful than maybe he intended to be. I think, watch this. How about this? I think a lot of times he wants to be more merciful. But he, you know what? We have not because we ask not. Now, what I'm saying is pray and plead with God. And let's be involved in this intercessory prayer. But notice this. He didn't let Abraham negotiate him down to zero. And what we all better understand, young people, is intercessory prayer is important, but also God's got a line. Say, what's the number for America? I don't know, and neither do you. But I promise you, the Lord's watching America. And I believe that once we dip down under a certain percentage of salt and light. Listen, folks, there's never been a nation. You know what? When Israel was allowed to be taken into captivity and destroyed, there was still a preacher by the name of Jeremiah and still a preacher named Isaiah. Not everybody had totally gone over. And I'm telling you, there's even countries that have faced judgment, there's been some righteous people there. But I think that God's just got a line there. He's just got a number. What is it? What is it? We're going to talk a lot about this. We're going to kind of extend this idea a little bit over different message, different portion of Scripture, but we're going to keep the same theme this morning. Even in our morning service, we'll talk more about that. Well, let's talk about this. What's it take to save America? Intercessory prayer. What's it take? A remnant of the righteous. A remnant of the righteous. Abraham represented what a righteous man should be. He was a man, the Bible says, who walked with God. He lived a righteous life. He had not succumbed to the influences of Sodom and Gomorrah. He did not embrace the idea of tolerance. He lived the principle of separation. Watch this. Look, if you will, in verse number 19 of that same chapter. He reared his children to walk with God. Behold, I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which has spoken of him. I think the attributes of godly men and godly women is this. They walk with God. They live a righteous life. They practice separation from the world, and they are doing the best they can to rear their children to walk in the paths of the Lord. And folks, listen to me. That's the definition of a righteous person as presented by the principles in this story. Now we're going to compare that in a minute to another Christian that the Bible says was saved, but at the same time those things were not said of him also. And so young people, listen to me, it's not enough just to be saved. We're not talking about just positional righteousness before God. That's taken care of when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. All of your sins on your eternal record are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, but there is positional righteousness before God, and then there's practical righteousness. And what we see here by the example of Abraham is that he walked with God and practically, not a perfect life, but a consistent righteous life before God Almighty. Now, preacher, how do we make sure that we're building up the remnant? All right, young people, listen to me. That's why I wanted you here again. I'm glad you're at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm glad you're in Sunday school. I'm glad you're under the preaching and teaching. I'm glad you're being homeschooled or you're going to a Christian school. I'm glad your mom and dad walk with God. But you know what we need you to do? Carry that over into the next generation. Because we need to keep, watch this, we need to keep the numbers up. Don't join the great falling away. Don't be part of the great band of idiots that are raised with all of the advantages of a Christian home and a good Bible preaching church and a Christian education, and then go out and puke all over that and shame the name of Jesus Christ and turn your back on everything that's righteous. Don't be part of that. All right? Because listen to me, watch this. Not only is that a wicked thing to do, it's an unpatriotic thing to do. Because now, you know what you've done? You had the potential to strengthen the remnant of the righteous. Instead, you're going to go over and give God one more excuse to destroy America. To me, that breaks, listen, that breaks my heart, and it breaks the heart of God. And so think about that, all right? Well, I'll tell you what, I want to go serve my country. Let me tell you how you serve your country. Stay in church. Let me how you stay, serve your country. Tithe. You know how you serve your country? Then let the Lord's Day be the Lord's Day. Now you serve your country. You know what? You don't touch alcohol. You stay away from tobacco. You stop supporting Hollywood. Listen, don't succumb to the culture. Live a separated, righteous life before God and give God one more reason to look down and say, you know what? Yeah, America may be going to hell in a handbasket, but there's just too many righteous people for me to pull the trigger on this side. Listen, you know what you know what Jerry Ross and other preachers done, and not just preachers, godly people that now have gray hair, you know what they've done? They kept God's judgment off this nation for you for one more generation. Now it's your turn to step up. Because one of these days, if God does tarry, the decisions you make is going to affect your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. I won't be around to see it, but you will. And what I'm saying is, hey, come on now. Hey, we kept this thing. I think we've stood before God and prayed. We've interceded for all these years. We've begged God for mercy and long-suffering and patience and to extend our freedoms for another generation so that we can spread the gospel and try to reach more people. But listen, if you're going to let it all fall to the ground, you're going to live with the consequences of it, okay? And so step up, stand up. You say, preacher, could Sodom and Gomorrah could it have been saved? Absolutely. Why was Sodom and Gomorrah not spared? Two reasons, all right? I gave you two reasons why it could have been, two reasons why it wasn't. I'm going to give you two because I'm short of time, and at least you'll have the two main points. Here we go. The grievous sins of the lost. The grievous sins of the lost is what one of the reasons why Sodom and Gomorrah was not spared. The grievous sins of the lost. Number two, the carnal condition of the just. The carnal condition of the just. Now, folks, if you look, come on, be honest. Drop your defenses. Stop worrying about defending the backslidden member of your family and listen to me. I've got backslidden members of my family. We still got to stand for what's right. And we still got to face the truth, and we still got to stop making excuses. You know, it's time for us that are doing right to rededicate ourselves to doing right instead of being influenced by those who are not doing right. And what I'm saying is this. Hey, listen, America's at risk here. Your nation's at risk here. Okay? Your nation, it's time to listen, get the emotions out of it. Your nation's at risk here. All right? And you know what? She's worth saving. America's still worth saving. So why was Sodom and Gomorrah not spared? Quickly, the grievous sins of the lost, chapter 18, verse 20. Look at this. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is, what's the next two words? Very grievous. I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the what? The cry of it, which has come to me. We're going to find out. I don't know if I have time today to do it, but in Genesis chapter 19. Well, let's just jump over there. What is going on in Sodom and Gomorrah? The Bible says, and let's read down verse number four. But before they, chapter 19, verse 4, before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto them, who are the men which came into thee this night? bring them out unto us that we may know them. I'm being very careful because I know we got young people and I get this, but I think most of you understand that these men, they thought these angels were just human men. They came into the city, Lot saw them, pulled them into his house for their own protection, and at nighttime the Sodomites came out and they were demanding that these men be handed over to them so that they could defile them with, listen, these were Sodomites, these were homosexuals. These were homosexuals, men given over to homosexuals. These were reprobates. Okay? Now watch this. The culture may be shifted on this, but the Bible hasn't changed one iota. I think it was brother, I can't remember who it was that came to me. I think it was Jesse came to me and he said, he was out visiting and knocked on a door and he said, the lady said, "What church is this?" And he said, "Blessed Oak Baptist Church." And she said, and it was right after I'd put on the sign, "Wake Up Indiana, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve." And so she said, "Oh, that's the church with the controversial sign." Can I say this, folks? There is nothing controversial about that sign. There's no controversy about this sin. Not to a Bible-believing Christian. There is no controversy. It is cut and dry. There's no gray area here. It's as clear as a bell. God has condemned this as a very grievous sin, extreme wickedness, and God was willing to erase large cities with fire and brimstone and destroy civilizations and America. Listen, if we keep embracing, I'm not embracing it. I'm just tolerating it. Yeah, you're Lot. No, you're Lot. Lot never, he never embraced it as far. And I'm not even, the Bible says his righteous soul was vexed. It bothered him. But you know what? He remained quiet and he decided, I'm not really for this, but I don't think we ought to say anything. And I think we ought to be quiet. I'll just work with them and I'll just find a way to get along. And everything in his life he eventually lost because he was a compromiser. Listen, the cry of it. Did you hear that? Well, a lot of things we could say are the cry of it. Folks, you know, a lot of times people understand, well, all the churches and all your preachers seem stuck on two national sins. You're all stuck on abortion and homosexuality. There's two sins in the Bible. That the Bible says if they're committed in a land, they cry out to God for judgment. Remember when the Lord came to Cain and said, "Where's your brother?" He said, "The blood of your brother doth cry from the ground." What's it crying? It's crying for justice, justice. The blood of the innocent, the slain of the innocent blood. Innocent blood always cries to God for justice to be done, for judgment to come, for punishment to come. The other sin that the Bible says does that is the sin of homosexuality. You know why God came down? You know why the stated reason? Because I've been up in heaven, and you know what I hear crying out from these cities? I hear the sin of their wickedness, the sin of homosexuality, crying out for judgment. So I'm going to go check it out, and if it's what I think it is, what I hear it is, you know what? Judgment's coming. And listen, I want you to get this, folks. We're not just riding a hobby horse around here. We're trying to save a country. There's a reason why these two sins, if America is destroyed, these two sins will be one and two on the list of the reason, as far as sins of the lost are going to be on the reason why judgment came to America. Listen, folks, you get this 60 million. I mean, go back there, and if you can get in line and get 5 minutes of holding her, if you can get past grandma's and all of that, hold that little McCammon baby. All right, hold that little McCammon baby and realize that babies that size in the womb are being murdered every day. And God's just supposed to sit up there and go, "Oh, well, you know, hey, it's the woman's body." No, it's not. No, it's not. You know what Ronald Reagan said? He said, "One thing I've noticed is that everyone that's for abortion has already been born." That's what Ronald Reagan said. The thing I notice is that everyone that's for abortion, listen, what do you mean? "Well, it's her body, it's her decision." That's not her body. Nobody's killing her body. They're killing somebody else's body. How did that argument win over? We've lost common sense on this thing. But every time an unborn, 60 million! The blood of 60 million, and if we could for 5 seconds hear what God hears and hear the blood of 60 million babies crying out for justice right now, we would be amazed that God is staying his hand. Well, you guys have turned into fanatics down there. You're putting crosses in the yard. Preacher, I think you've gone off the reservation. Good night. If we don't go off the reservation, there's going to be no reservation left. I'll tell you what, you know, your preaching always seemed like you guys got... I'm going to tell you something. If we let this thing of homosexuality become... Listen, if we get quiet in the pulpits and in the pew about this thing, America's gone. It's gone. Okay? And so what I'm saying is this. Why the grievous sins of the lost? But folks, we've got to finish with this thought. It wasn't just the grievous sins of the lost of why Sodom and Gomorrah was not spared. It was the carnal condition of the just. I don't have time to go to all these scriptures, but you know what? Lot, it was a process. Young people, listen to what I'm going to say in the next 2 or 3 minutes. Please listen to me. Lot made his fatal mistake, his first step, when he decided that he would separate himself from his godly heritage. And that happened in Genesis chapter 13. And we've got young people that have separated themselves from their godly heritage. You know, Blessed Hope Baptist Church is part of your godly heritage. You know, if you're raised in this church, and you grow up and God keeps you in this area, you should go to this church. You know what Lot did? You know what he did? He got to a point where he got prosperous and he had an opportunity to make more money, and it wasn't working out with him and Abraham. It was cramping his style. And so when given the opportunity, he separated himself from his godly heritage. You know what ought to happen? Listen, I love to look out and see grandmas and grandpas, sometimes even in this church now, great grandmas and grandpas. Grandma and grandpa sat beside him. Mom and dad sat beside him. And children sat beside him. Listen to me. It's about time you start treating the heritage, young people, that you have here as something sacred. I understand God's going to call some people out of this church to go into full-time Christian service. Got it. That's part of the program. Glad for it. But you know what? This whole idea of I'm going to be raised in this area, and this is part of my godly heritage, and my family goes here, but I'm going to go somewhere else to church and then pretend I'm a good Christian. You know what? That's baloney. You know, one of the things a prodigal has to do, I'm going to preach a whole message on this, so just get ready for it. But you know why prodigals won't, you know why very few prodigals ever get right with God? It's because most of them won't come home. And the idea that you're going to go somewhere else and try to fix what you can only fix at home, it doesn't say that he was in the pig pen, realized he was in trouble, and he says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go to the neighbors. He went home. This is home. You go ahead. I've watched every prodigal that we've got in this church, and we've got several, try to go to some other place, some other church, but won't come back here and make right what they need to make right here. And you know what? They never stay in that church very long. Just write it down. Just mark it down. You know what it is? It's pride. It's the unwillingness to walk in and say, preacher, I was wrong. I've said things about this church that is wicked and wrong. There's people in here I've wronged that I need to make things right with. Now, they don't want to deal with sin. They just want to go start fresh somewhere else. You'll never do that. Go home. You know what Lot should have done? He should have went home. That's what he should have done. Instead, he separated himself from his godly heritage. You're not going to fix things in your Christian life. I'll just say, go on record. You get backslidden away from this church, you will not fix things in your Christian life without getting right with your parents, properly right with your parents, and properly right with your home church and your home pastor. You'll never be able to go forward till you fix some things. You won't do it. All right. Now, then he pinched his tent towards Sodom. Young people, I got to ask you this question. Which way is your tent pitched? Is it pitched towards Blessed Hope and your parents and your preachers, or pitched toward the world? All of you got a tent. It's pointing some direction right now. Even after he separated, if you go to the very next chapter, Genesis 14, I'm rushing through this. But you know what? God allowed Sodom and Gomorrah to get into a war. Lot was taken captive. Abraham goes and saves his sorry hide. Watch this. He ignored the warnings of God and bypassed his second chance. You know, when Abraham went and rescued Lot after he... Well, here's what I watch a lot of times. A young person makes a wrong decision, doesn't get very far in that wrong decision without letting God let some catastrophe or something hit them hard. And you know what they usually do? They turn to people who know that really love them. And because we do love them, we help them. That is God's giving you an opportunity to say, Abraham, I should have never left in the first place. I'm heading back with you. I'll sell everything I got. My godly heritage is more important to me than the trouble I'm going to. God right off the bat lets you see your. But you know what? Pride and greed steps in it. All of a sudden, no, I'm just going to keep going the way I am. And so what happens? The carnal condition of the just and the grievous sins of the lost, and God would have spared an entire, the ignoring of inward vexation. I mean, we could talk about that. He quietly tolerated the sins of Sodom. And of course, we can read in Genesis chapter 19 the great cost. Cost him his reputation, cost him his material possessions, cost him his wife, cost him his children, cost him his grandchildren, cost him everything. Listen, carnality cost. I'm going to look right up here and I'm done. But watch this. Two ways we can save America: intercessory prayer and the remnant of the righteous. Number two, and these are the two things you hear your preacher preach against a lot. If I'm going to have a hobby horse, here's two hobby horses to have. The grievous sins of the lost, those that cry to God for judgment, watch this, and carnality. Preacher, if you just allow and make some allowances and drop a few standards and make it so carnal Christians could feel more comfortable here, you'd keep people. And that's what you really want me to do, some of you. But you know what? If I let carnality get comfortable in carnality, I'm as guilty for the destruction of America as their carnality will be. And the only way we can stand and save our country is to preach against the grievous sins of the lost and preach against the carnality of the Christians, because those two things is what's going to end up destroying this country. Is there hope for us? Yeah, there is. But we're going to have a wake-up call, and we're going to have to get serious about getting right with God. We're going to have to get busy back out soul winning. Come on, let's the remnant of the righteous. Listen, you can raise your kids to be righteous. But that's not the only way that we're supposed to increase the remnant of the righteous. We're supposed to be out there obeying the Great Commission. I've taken a little extra time. We'll start the service at 20 till. Let's pray right now before we're dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the time that you've allowed us. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would use the next service, dear God, to build on what we've heard. God, help us. Lord, help us. My heart's grieved. It's grieved. Everybody's got an excuse why they have to live in carnality. Everybody wants to blame somebody else. Everybody's got their little list and their attitude. And a nation is going to hell, and people won't confront their sin and get things right. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, please, God, to wake up, realize, Lord, we're walking the same road that Sodom and Gomorrah walked, right into the buzzsaw of judgment. Lord, I pray that you'd help us wake up in Jesus' name. Amen.